and I got Steve Zales on the line. Steve, let me just say first, welcome into True Worldview Cafe.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time out to be with us. And I've kind of set this up. You know, I've mentioned your book several times and talked about, you know, how the culture defines manhood, and, you know, just made the point that in your book, yeah, there's this issue of the talk, you know, the birds and the bees, but really the book is about helping fathers to help their sons grow up to be biblical men, you know, men as defined by the scriptures. And really, I just kind of wanted to wade into this whole issue of manhood as designed by God just as we get started. Is that okay?
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you talk about, really you go back to the garden and you talk about the cultural mandate, and I tell you, if you look at that cultural mandate, I mean, there's more to the cultural mandate than might appear at first glance, isn't there?
That's exactly right, and in my book I try to separate out the four areas that the Lord has called all men to take leadership in order to be really what God has designed men to be. And those areas include work, sexual activity, leadership in the home, and obedience to the Lord.
Yeah, and if I could just read the scripture there so that our folk know exactly what we're talking about. It's in Genesis 1, 26 to 28. You know, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And again, you talked about those four areas. And it's interesting the way you put it, and I think most of us are, you know, familiar with, you know, work and, you know, some of the other things, family. But you separate it, and we don't have to focus on this, but I sort of mentioned it at the top of the hour. You mentioned this whole issue that man is to be a leader in sexual activity as well.
That's right. Sometimes in the Christian realm, people have a misunderstanding, especially teens. They get the impression that Christians are saying sex is bad, and that is just not the case. And from the very beginning, when God created Adam, he formed Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And he's telling us, I want you to have sex, but he has set specific boundaries through which our sexual relations are to occur. And that's part and parcel to the talk, although it's not all of it. Mm-hmm. But it's very, very important that we understand from the very beginning, how did God create us? And if he is our creator, then he has a way that he expects man to fulfill their purpose here on the earth.
Yeah. Yeah, and we could go back and hit some of those other issues as well, because we're not just talking, as you said, about sex. We're talking about young men, you know, becoming men, or boys becoming men. And you know, one of the things I said before you came on the air is that, you know, and you alluded to this in your comments, God's way. I mean, we do all that we do for the glory of God. There are heart reasons we do that. But the practical side of that is, if you do things God's way, good things happen. You do things man's way, bad things happen. So maybe you could talk to us briefly, just like you did about the whole issue of sex, talk to us briefly about work and family and obedience, those other three dynamics.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as we walk our teens and our young men into manhood, it's very important, just exactly what you're saying is, you know, there are blessings associated with walking right before God.
Yeah.
And I really want to emphasize to fathers that as we have this type of discussion with our sons, that we want to really major on the blessings. We want our sons to make decisions about life and how they are to honor God based on the joy that's set before them. And while we definitely want to talk about the consequences of sin, really, the things that draw ourselves and our kids and people to the Lord is understanding the joy and beauty and righteousness that comes in following rightly the paths of God. So we really want to make sure, and I say in the book, you know, we want to say four or five blessings that come with each thing rightly following God to every one thing that we talk about to for the consequences that follow not obeying the Lord's will in our lives. So, and those apply to all areas, including work and leadership in the home and obedience to God, and of course, sexual activity as well.
Right. And we're talking about representing God in an honorable way in the world when we follow that pattern.
That's exactly right. And when we do that, God's blessings follow and flow into our lives.
Yeah, there you go. Now, you also have a chapter on the virtues of manhood. And I want to talk about those virtues again because they're very different from the world. But you start off by telling a story about your son and this BB gun. And not only is it a touching story, I'm a father as well. But, I mean, you made a very profound point from that with reference to his heart and not wanting to hinder that seed of godliness that had been planted there. Talk to us a little bit, but just share that briefly, if you will, on the point.
Yeah, it's really a humorous story, and I try and, you know, in the book, I want everybody to know I'm just a dad, and I just want everybody to understand I love my kids just like you do. And in this particular story, I had given my son a BB gun and had walked through with him, here's when you can use it, only when I'm here, and here's what you can shoot at, what you can't shoot at, and how much fun it can be if you use it rightly. And one day I got a call at my work, and my older son is on the phone, and he is just crying, just in tears. I can hardly understand what he's saying. And he says, oh, Dad, I shot him, but I didn't mean to. It was an accident. And he's crying, and I'm getting bits and pieces. And, of course, I'm fearful at this point, going, who did he shoot? You know, did my other son, you know, who's at the hospital? I said, put your mother on. He says, your mom's not home right now. And I'm thinking, mom's running to the hospital with one of the kids. And I said, slow down. Tell me what you're talking about here. And he says, well, there was a dove out in the woods, and I didn't think I could hit it from this far, and I shot it, and I killed the dove. And he said, I'm a poacher.
Oh, bless his heart.
Well, of course, my anguish turned to laughter. I tried not to show my laughter at it because of the heart attitude that he had.
Yes.
The conviction that he had just from doing something that he was instructed not to do, and he wanted to be right before me and right before God, and he had felt that he had crossed that line.
Wow.
And that's the heart attitude that we want to really nurture in our kids.
Yeah.
And make sure we don't lose that as they transition from being directly under our care to stretching out on their own and seeing what's really in the world.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, what else or what more could we want for our sons to walk with the Lord, as you say, and to have the Lord, you know, working in their hearts like that? It's interesting because you talk about the metrics of manhood, and you contrast, you know, the metrics that the world talks about, you know, versus the biblical virtues. Just outline or highlight that for us a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the two could not be more diametrically opposed. Hmm. And all you really need to do is, in a moment, watch your TV and see what's on the television and the programming and see what's on the commercials. And you see automatically, you know, real men, they're buff, they're strong, you know, they don't have acne. They are the perfect specimens of physical specimens of men, and they have a variety of girlfriends, and they're picking and choosing, and they are sexually active to the max. And, you know, if you contrast that with what the Lord's calling men to, he says men, true men, are humble.
Mm-hmm.
He says they're courageous. He highlights strongly that men are pure, and they're faithful, and they're selfless, and they're self-controlled.
Yeah.
Now, if you hold those two things up next to each other, it is light and darkness.
Yeah.
And that's really, you know, where we want to set our hearts when we start our discussion with our sons.
Yeah.
You know, this is what true manhood is.
That's
and you have to dissuade them or show them that what you've been seeing on TV and what you've been hearing perhaps at school isn't true.
Mm. Yeah, that's the issue. I was saying before you came on the air that I've heard young men, you know, say things like, I don't like, you know, football was the example I used. Is there something wrong with me? I want to be a man, or I'm not, you know, as muscular as that guy, and I got to, you know, get into the weight room so I can be a real man. But those are not the things that the Bible holds out when it comes to the issue of manhood. And these are the biblical things. That's what we've got to emphasize, right? When we talk to our sons, it's not just that one talk, is it?
That's right. The talk, you know, it's in the past, or you might have heard, you know, oh, you're going to have the talk, and it's going to be a 15-minute conversation. I'm going to tell them about the birds and the bees. It's going to be painful, but I'm going to get over it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And really, the talk is an ongoing conversation. Certainly, you start it with a specific time frame and a specific talk that hits the topics that are appropriate for your age son. But the object is that it opens up a new level of communication with your son, where you become a trusted confidant, where he knows, you know what, I may not have any place else that I know I'm going to get the straight scoop, but I get it from Dad, and I can trust that.
Yeah. And of course, you're pointing him, among other things, but this is foundational, you're pointing him to trust alone, you know, trust in the Lord, you know, to be able to accomplish the things that you're setting before him from God's Word.
Yes, that is crucial. And one of the things that I really emphasize in my book is the importance of a dad sharing his testimony as he shares the gospel with his son.
Mm.
You know, sometimes we assume, well, if we've been in a Christian home all of our lives, you know, and he's gone to church all the time. He knows these things. He needs to hear the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his dad's life so that he can understand and go, my dad actually sat in the place that I'm at.
Mm.
And the thing that my dad grabbed hold of was the truth of the gospel. And it changed him, and it made him the man that he is, and thereby giving your son that same handle. And he may not take it, you know, right there, then and there, mm-hmm. but you know what? That will rest with him.
Yeah.
And when it comes his time to consider and think and make a decision for himself, he's going to remember that moment.
Yeah. We really do have an abdication by a lot of fathers and a lot of men in leading their families and in doing what you're talking about, in leading in the churches, don't we? This is a sad time, isn't it?
It really is. And I do a lot of work out in the community. Of course, I've done a lot of work in the church as well. And it really is a place where dads don't always understand the importance of having this talk with their sons.
Yeah.
And it's almost a scary thing, you know, how am I going to approach this subject and how is it going to work?
Right.
But it is extremely important. And as I work out in the communities and I see kids who are without fathers and they're on the streets and they're dealing dope and they're, you know, they're in the world up to their neck, and you think, you know what, if a father was in their life, how different for many of these kids this would be.
Yeah, wow. And look, you know, the book and your message is so important, and we do want to focus on fathers and fathers having the talk with their sons. But obviously, Steve, and you mentioned this, that, you know, there's some homes out there where the dad is absent for one reason or other. What would you say to the moms in that case?
Yeah, here's the important message to the mom is, you know, God has not left you or your son as orphans.
Hmm.
Okay, all of the things that are discussed here in the book apply directly to their sons. They can either give the talk directly to their sons themselves, or if they have a trusted male leader in their home, maybe a brother, uncle to the son, or other that they would trust with the material, that they could actually, and I've seen this done very effectively, and that trusted male leader is able to convey the information. Now, an important note there is the mother still needs to be fully aware of everything that's being taught. And I specify in the foreword of the book that it, should this be the case, that the mother walk through with that male confident, here's what's going to be discussed and here's what's not, so that she is always aware of everything that is talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's so critical that mom, dad, whoever, the parents, we have that responsibility to really be proactive in this and to be involved and have a plan and know what we're doing and know what's going on, even if we have to use, you know, a single mom has to have another trusted male friend to help with the talk.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, Steve, we're almost out of time here, unfortunately. You know, we're promoting the book, but we believe in it. That's why, I mean, because it's rooted in the scriptures. But is there anything that you'd like to say, you know, to our audience as you wrap it up a little bit about the book, about your message, whatever? We're going to point to the website and all of that, but, you know, just some last thoughts.
Yeah, I would just first encourage dads to step up and have the talk with your son. Start it at maybe age 10 or 11, especially if they're in public school. Just move forward and don't delegate this or make it so that make it a bigger problem than it might be. It can be fun. It should be informative, and it will change the life and your relationship with your son from that point forward.
Yeah, amen. Well, the title of the book is Time for the Talk. Steve Zales, am I saying your name right, Zales?
Yep, that's perfect.
All right, and you by the way, just as we go, you're teaching biblical truth, but you got some real pastors have real world experience too. But you got some real world experience, unless I'm confused, in the health care field and all that kind of stuff. Am I right about that?
That's right. I've been in the healthcare field, working with in hospitals and such for the last 20 years.
Okay.
And a lot of that has been out in the communities, working with teens.
Yeah. And you see firsthand, and I know pastors and preachers do too, theologians, but you see firsthand maybe more than we do because of that context, the consequences of not doing things God's way.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and then the blessings that you talk about in the book from the Lord, so wonderful. Well, I could go on, Steve. I'm so sorry to do that, but thanks for joining me today. And again, we'll point folk to shepherdpress.com and your book, Time for the Talk. That's Steve Zales, helping your son to grow into manhood. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.